We are here with Jennifer Castillo on my right and Sarey Deisel on my left, who are the co-directors of what I think is a very wonderful documentary called American Dreamers. And we're just going to have a little chat about how they came about doing this project.
Awesome.
and Jennifer is also the writer.
Yes.
So you guys, how did you get hooked up with this project?
How did we find out about it? Yeah. That's the best question.
Yes.
So I just finished doing a master's in screenwriting at Loyola Marymount University. And for my thesis, I was writing a piece on a story about a mother and daughter who were separated during an immigration raid. And for the 72 hours to follow, the immigration raid is actually a real immigration raid that happened in New Bedford, Massachusetts, while I was an undergrad at Boston College. So I was really in touch with what was going on politically, socially, within the immigration movement and the every immigration world. And so I was doing a lot of research, and I had a Google alert on the DREAM Act specifically to kind of, you know, be in, up to date with all the information. And I see this article about these group of undocumented students who are going to walk across the country from San Francisco to Washington, D.C., 3,000 miles for immigrant rights. And obviously my first thought is, like, there's so many of us citizens who haven't even walked our own land. Like, literally, we don't walk our own land these days. We drive for 2 miles to the corner market, right? So I was really impressed. Right away, I emailed Sarai, who's my partner in crime on everything. And anything that I say that I think is a crazy idea, Sarai takes me seriously and takes it to the next level. And so within a week, we're on the phone with them. And within a month, we were on the road with them.
Yeah, at the time we were working on a television show called Castle, and that's where we actually met.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. Oh, good, yeah. And we had been doing for like a few months prior to this moment a show called Inspira, where we were featuring inspiring Latino leaders across the country, and we were working with the Hispanic Heritage Foundation and law. It was Latinos on Fast Track then, now it's Leaders on Fast Track. And we had so much exposure, and it was doing really well. But again, it's like we just had to, like, you know, put a hold on that and move forward with this, because it was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. They were doing such an incredible movement. It was a perfect time, an important time during, you know, the re-election in 2012. So we had to do it. And we left during our hiatus for a month. And then when we came back, we were like, okay, like, maybe we'll fly out, like, every month, like once a week. Like, we kind of have such a great family with Castle that, you know, they'll allow us to do that. But then at that point, we're getting so many updates and so many things that we were missing that we're like, we need to just quit our jobs and get on the road with them. So that's what we did.
And you had these young people are quite brave, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not only, you know, being I think five of them were are undocumented, and walking across the country where you don't really know where what's going to meet you.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. So you guys were along with them just about
pretty much through the journey. And I mean, to speak a little bit about that, I've never met a group of people that were so unafraid. And that was what really inspired me of them, was the fact that here are a group of people who are quote unquote being limited, you know, by society, by the government, by what the situation. And yet they're going far beyond what anybody thinks they can do, and they're doing more. And so for me, it was like, I have so many privilege, and I'm so afraid. And, you know, at that time I thought of so many things in my life that I said, why? It almost like they changed us. Like, they made us better as we met them and we experienced all this with them. But yeah, we were alongside them on the road. We drove a lot of it. Yeah. They walked, and we followed them. we had this like funny thing that we do, not on purpose, but it just so happens that we'd like drive up to a point, and like we rush to like set up the cameras, like get everything ready for them to come, and then they wouldn't come because obviously they're walking, so they take longer. And so we'd be like just resting, and all of a sudden, you see them run by, and we miss the shot. Get up again and keep going. So we did a lot of that. We did a lot of setting up and then waiting for them, and then we would meet them in communities where they would go and speak to people.
The thing that I realized, a lot of people don't realize that so many of them came here not on their own. Not, right. It's not their fault that, you know, that, that they were brought here illegally. But, you know, personally, I feel like they should... This is their home.
Right. Yeah.
This is their home. So, how many people on the crew, actually, the actual setting up and...
Oh, yeah.
How many?
So it was just three of us. So it was Jen and I, and we had our cinematographer, Jeremy Mazur, who was on the road with us. The first time we went out for a month, it was pretty much like us, like filming, and we had another cinematographer, Henry Pacheco, at that time, but he couldn't join us for the remainder. So I called my school. I went to Brooks Institute of Photography, and I called them. And I asked, like, who do you have? Like, I need someone in the journalism track, someone that can be on the road, sleep in tents for the next 6 months. And we found the perfect person because he's a fantastic photographer, did journalism in school, and he was a Marine. So I'm like, done.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. Right.
Good choice.
But on the back end, we had two more very instrumental people with us. We had our editor, Nick Stish, who is also a producer on the project, and so he was the one that was capturing, getting everything that we were capturing and starting to piece it together, and was also primarily funding us through this time through his company. And then we also had John Huertas, who is an actor on Castle, and he's an executive producer. So he was the person that when we came back from hiatus and we said, oh my God, we have to continue the story's on the road, we have to quit our jobs and do this, how are we going to do this? He was the person that said, I'm completely for what you're doing. I support you in every way, not just in terms of issues, but I think also as young filmmakers, he really was inspired by what we were trying to do and said, you know, I'll support you. And so he gave us two camera packages and sent us on the road. Yeah. We did some crowdfunding, and obviously because he has a big fan network, then it really helped to be able to bring in some of those funds as well.
John, I've had the pleasure of interviewing John a couple of times. Awesome. I think he's a cool guy.
Oh, he's
very talented. Very talented.
So talented. So down to earth and funny. Oh my gosh, the guy.
Just beginning the festival circuit.
Yes.
We actually weren't planning to do the festival circuit, but the Los Angeles Film Festival was like the one film festival. They're like, we have to do this one. And there's like a few other ones that we definitely wanted to do, but like we're from here, we're from LA, our network is here, we have so much support. So we submitted to that and actually kind of forgot about it until we got the call that we got invited. So it is the beginning. We do have a sales agent that's helping us with getting a distribution deal. So we have a few offers on the table, and hopefully more can come from the festival. And our main goal is to distribute, to release the film in the fall.
That's wonderful. I know at the end of the documentary, you talk, there's little snippets of what has happened to some of the walkers. And I took to Jonathan. Mm-hmm. And and it's been a few months now. Is there anything new on Jonathan's?
So John, actually, when we interviewed him and he broke down, we had no idea. Like, because we've been in touch with him on a personal front, we've all obviously become very close since the journey, but we had no idea what he was going to say on camera until that moment. So that was a very powerful moment to hear him talk about, you know, his situation, the fact that he's still undocumented, that he hadn't had deferred action up until that time, and that he didn't know what was going to happen. So because he had a case in court and they denied closing it, then he was basically in limbo. So that happened, and within a couple months ago, he actually got approved for deferred action. Mm-hmm. So he finally now has a 2-year work permit and has technically a deferral from deportation. Of course, his deportation case still stands, and because all these things are very technical and very political, we're not really sure what happens, you know, if deferred action, now that it's... So they try to do extended deferred action for people who hadn't qualified, and deferred action for parents, and all that right now is frozen in the courts. So if they were to do something where they try to overturn the deferred action that they have now for these young kids, we have no idea where John's situation will end up, because his case hasn't gone away. So he's deferred for 2 years with deferred action, but if that kind of falls apart, we don't know what's going to happen. So that's sort of the difficult situation that he finds himself in. Right now, he's at peace. You know, he can work and he can be here. Yeah. But he tells us, you know, that's not, I, he's, it's like, maybe it's the fear is still with him because he knows it's not permanent.
Yeah.
If I had a pathway to citizenship, he said if I was already going through that process, then I would be in a different state of mind. But it's like he can never really completely leave his guard down.
Yeah,
that's tough. I mean, it's really tough. It's just, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But you guys were born here, right?
Yes.
Here in Southern California?
I was born and raised in Los Angeles, yes.
I was actually born and raised in Puerto Rico. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Mexicana y de El Salvador.
Central American.
Yeah. Hey.
No, this is, when I watched this documentary and I kind of thought, well, actually, Cynthia contacted me.
Okay.
I love Cynthia.
Yeah,
and I'll check it out.
Yeah.
And I was really, I went, wow, you know, because it looks like it was a lot of work in some ways because of having to traveling so far across the country and with limited funds and limited places to stay. And but I think you guys pulled it off. And I hope much more people will see it.
Yeah, we hope a lot of people will come out to the LA Film Fest. I think that's going to be a big night for us.
I know you're still working, you know, this is still fresh and you're still working on it, but you have other plans for other documentaries or film that you want to do?
We keep talking about it. Yeah. You know, we have a lot of ideas.
So many.
We were just talking about doing a documentary about all the musicians that have come out of East LA, you know.
So, I'm from East LA, so
we actually have La Santa Cecilia is gonna come to our premiere.
Yeah,
you can't say too much about this.
Such an incredible
I was going through some old photographs, and I realized the first time I saw them was like in 2007 or somewhere around there at Hollywood Forever.
Wow!
Yeah.
They were in this little. There was a group of musicians just close. Actually, I was going to the bathroom. and I just heard this voice, and I turned around. And, oh my God!
Wow.
That woman has an incredible voice.
Yeah.
So I've taken many photos of them.
That's so cool.
Yeah, and you know Las Cafeteras also,
yes,
right?
Yes,
oh my gosh!
Yes.
We just listened to them because we were looking for a band to play before the screening, and fell in love with them.
Yeah,
absolutely fell in love. And they're from my hood. They're from El Sereno, so
Actually, I was hanging with what's his name? The lead singer. He's funny too. We were at the Mexico, Hola Mexico Festival.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, well, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what else you guys are going to do.
Yeah, I mean, we not only do documentaries, like we have been doing a lot of docuseries and obviously this feature is doc, but we work in television and we want to do narrative work and we want to kind of stick on the television track, but every now and then, because we're freelancers, we can do a movie here and there.
Actually, you mentioned Jennifer, you were producer on a little short that sounded really interesting. Is it Bayon or Balon?
Yeah, we
both produced that one.
Yeah.
And it was a short piece, a dance film that we did. When did we do that? Last year?
Last year. And now it's gotten into...
Well, Balon actually, Alexis Korzynski is the director of Balon, and we started working with her on that, but we quickly changed gears and did the haircut, and the haircut was an AFI DWW short film that has been garnering a lot of attention, like going to over 12 film festivals and getting a lot of support from AFI and winning awards. So yeah, it's been great.
Well, you know, I said this was going to be easy, and I really, really appreciate you guys.
Thank you so much.
And I do really look forward to seeing what else you guys are going to do.
Thank you.
So make sure and let me know.
Yeah, we will. Thanks so much for your support and sharing our story.
Thank you
so much.